Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now might be a good time to silence your cell phones if you... I think that happens to all of us. Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you. Something struck me this week as I was looking at the Old Testament reading and at our Gospel reading. They both show something that's kind of strange or unsettling about these giants of the Lord. I mean, these Jeremiah, one of the major prophets, and Peter, first among equals among the disciples. And it's something that's kind of startling because you think that these are these great pillars of the Christian faith, of people of God. And they have these same failings that you and I face all the time in our Old Testament reading. The prophet Jeremiah, it sounds like he says all these things that St. Paul's going to talk about, you know, about how to be a Christian, the marks of a Christian, which is what the epistle reading is about. What does a Christian life look like? Paul lays it out for you. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, I've done all these things. I've done what you said. I've tried to be who you wanted me to be. And yet I'm persecuted and people don't like me. And then Jeremiah says, Lord, you've made all these promises to me. It seems like your words to me, which I've taken and I've eaten, I've done what you said. It seems like your words and your promises to me are like a deceitful brook. That whenever you need water, it's empty. That's what Jeremiah says. And Peter, last week, the gospel reading was like the height of Jesus' ministry and teaching in Galilee. He's done all these miracles. He's told his disciples who he is. And he says, in Caesarea Philippi, he goes there with his disciples and he says, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter has this wonderful confession. You, Lord, are the Son of God. Excuse me. The Son of the living God. Exactly. You are the Christ, he says. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one of God. Which means the one who's coming to save his people. It's like, yes, Peter. You got it. And then Jesus says, now don't tell anybody. And that's where we ended the gospel reading last week. And you think, well, why does he say don't tell anybody? Well, today is why. Because the next thing that Peter says is, well, Jesus says, okay, you said I'm the Christ. Well, the Son of Man has to suffer at the hands of evil men. Suffer and die and be raised again. And this is why he said, don't tell anybody, because the first thing Peter says is, no, Lord, far be it from you, far be it that would happen to you. Peter doesn't understand that that's the plan. That's God's plan already. It's been his plan all along for the Messiah to go and suffer and die on a cross. When I was in seminary, the head of the seminary, president of the seminary, told a story about this theologian who was invited to come to the seminary. This great man of God, Yale Divinity School, comes to Concordia Seminary, and he's going to give a speech. And this guy comes, and he starts his speech with saying that he had recently gotten out of the hospital. He had been in the hospital for a major operation, and when he woke up from the operation, he heard this pounding. Bam, bam, bam. He couldn't figure it out. What's all this pounding? And it just kind of bothered him, because here he was, you know, suffering after being in surgery. And all he hears is this pounding. Bam, bam, bam. And he's still kind of groggy from the anesthetic. And he starts thinking, oh, wouldn't it be just my luck? Here I have to have this surgery, and I'm suffering, and they're doing construction outside, you know, and they must be driving piles. Bam, bam, bam. You know how they take those huge weights and drop them? He's thinking, Lord, can't you just make this go away for today? aren't I suffering enough? And it keeps going on. Bam, bam, bam. And he prays more. Lord, can't you take this away? Can't you get rid of this incessant pounding in my head? Haven't I done what you wanted me to do? And the theologian says, you know what the answer to my prayer was? Bam, bam, bam. He kept praying and lying there and praying and suffering. And a couple of minutes later, he remembered what the surgeon had told him before the operation. He said, when you wake up, you're going to hear a pounding in your head. And that's the medical device that we put in to keep your heart pounding, to keep your heart running. So that pounding is keeping you alive. So immediately he had another prayer. Lord, forget that last order. Don't listen to that prayer. I'll get used to the pounding. And he did. But isn't it that way in our lives sometimes? Many times in our life when we're suffering, it seems like the only answer to our prayer is bam, bam, bam. I guess that's why Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done, not my will be done. You see, Jesus knows something about suffering. He knows about the cross. He knows that we human beings are sorely tempted to want to get rid of it. Cross out the cross. We don't want the cross in our lives. We don't want the cross in our lives or our neighbor's lives or our family's lives. We don't want the cross of suffering and, as Peter thought, in my best friend's life. We don't want suffering. So when Jesus says, okay, well, here's what the Christ is going to do. Here's what the Messiah is going to do. He's going to suffer at the hands of evil men, the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. He's going to suffer. And he's going to die. And he's going to be raised again. When Jesus lays out what the Christ is going to do, what Jesus is going to do, Peter said, no, I don't want that for you, Lord. I don't want that for you. He didn't want to hear that. So Jesus had to straighten him out. Because what Simon Peter wanted was a Messiah that just went on preaching and teaching about goodness and love. Simon Peter wanted a Messiah that just provided bread and food for everyone. Just like that. What Jesus do you want? A Jesus maybe that just goes on making, just healing people and doing miracles. That's what Simon Peter wanted. Simon Peter wanted a Messiah who's going to set up a worldly government, make justice for all people, immediately. And Simon Peter wanted a Messiah that would put an end to suffering immediately, right now. Just do it. Jesus saw this. And Jesus recognized that what was in Simon Peter was from Satan. This was a temptation of Jesus by Satan to divert Jesus from the path of suffering and the cross, the path of our salvation. To divert Jesus from doing what he was sent to do. And, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Satan has been tempting us with the same temptation ever since. It's the temptation to deny God's will. It's a temptation to deny that God has a purpose in what he's doing, even if it's hard for us to see. Temptation to deny that God has a plan, that he's carrying out his plan, whether we like it or not. It's a temptation to try to substitute our own plan for what we think best, for what God knows is best for us and for our neighbor. Sometimes this temptation manifests itself in a understandable request for relief, and there's nothing wrong with praying for relief. It's only when we say, "My will be done, not thy will be done, Lord," that's where the problem is. Sometimes it's a temptation for followers of Christ to think that we're honoring God by dishonoring his way, his plan. Sometimes there's a temptation for us to insert our own human plan for God's real plan. And when we do that, we leave out the purpose of the Messiah, Jesus' purpose, what he came to come and do for us. There are some who say, "Far be it from a sinless Messiah to die on a cross." There are some who say there was no necessity of a Savior. That's unworthy of a loving God. And it's beneath human dignity to need a Savior. Those are teachings from Satan. And it's very tempting for church leaders to try to tell people what they want to hear. There was a World Council of Churches president who said, "The atonement teaching about Jesus Christ, suffering and death on the cross to atone for our sins, being sent by God the Father, that makes God the Father sound like this big bully, this bloodthirsty God." That's not the Jesus I want. And the Interpreter's Bible says this. It says, that stuff about Christ going to the cross is just an ancient superstition added to those who delight in gore. You see, there's always been this pervasive temptation to cross out the cross. Just erase it and get rid of it, because I don't want to see that. That's not the God I want. I want my own God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a temptation that we have to face. A temptation that we have to fight with the simple truth of what Christ did for us. Jesus committed himself to go to the cross, to go to Jerusalem to suffer. He was sent there by God the Father to suffer and die for our sake, in our place, as a substitute for us. It was God's plan. A wise plan, a holy plan, and even a just plan. And Jesus knew the reason for this gruesome necessity. As St. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All are unable to pay the ransom price for their own sins. That's why Jesus was sent, to be the ransom for many, as Matthew says. And just as Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. That was the plan all along. That was God's will, that was God's purpose, and it involved suffering. Christ suffering in our place for our salvation. This vicarious atonement was an act of boundless love for you and me. Jesus did not cross out the cross. He did not avoid it. He stared it straight in the face and went there on purpose, willingly. When we simple human beings see what our own condition actually is without a Savior who suffers on the cross, that's when we begin to see how helpless we are. And when we're in that condition, we begin to live in faith. Because we see who Jesus really is. We see what he's really done for us. That's what enables us to live a life in faith. It's no wonder that Jesus appealed to Peter, and really to us, all that he came to save, to set our minds on the things of God. In his love, Jesus gives us light to see with eyes of faith. Eyes that see what it means for Jesus to go to the cross. What it means for us to be saved from our sins. To be given a Holy Spirit in baptism, which gives us new life. Not so that all those things that St. Paul lists there about how to be a Christian, not so that they're burdens for us, but they're opportunities for us. Because when Jesus comes, when he comes again, he'll give us the resurrection. The resurrection from death, the resurrection from all the ills and suffering that we face, and we'll be more than richly compensated for all that. During our lives, we face this temptation to try to cross out the cross. Yet Jesus made the cross the whole pattern of life of his followers. He tells us that. he who would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Our cross is all of the suffering and the trouble and the hardship that come to us because we believe in the crucified and the risen Savior. The faith in Christ and in his cross by which we're justified gives us faithfulness of life. And if this is hindered by unrepentant sinning, our faith can be choked to death. But the blessings of Jesus' cross can only be received by faith. When faith is lost, salvation is lost. Jesus warned us about this. Yet when the early Christians were imprisoned or tortured or persecuted for their faith, those were their crosses. And they took them willingly. How about you? When you're ridiculed or even just made unpopular because of your Christian faith, your conviction that Jesus is the Christ, when you must sacrifice time or money just to do God's will, when you're tested, you have to fight earnestly to obey God's word, and if you're heartbroken because your children seem to have lost their Christian faith, whatever your crosses are, know this. None of them would come upon you if you were not a follower of Christ. None of them would come upon you if you were not a follower of Christ. So the devil's temptation to you is going to come at you this way. He's going to say to you, spare yourself all that trouble about being a loyal Christian. Cross out the cross. Forget about it. You don't need it. Christians, when you hear this, you say to Satan, get behind me, Satan. Go away. I'm a baptized Christian. My Savior went to that cross for me. That's his plan. That was his plan for Jesus, and that, oh Satan, is God's plan for me. I'm united to Christ in my baptism. When Christ died there, he died a final and eternal death for all of us. But when there's suffering, I'm willing to suffer. Bring it on, Satan. I know what's coming. Because I know what's coming too. And Jesus said it. That on the third day he would be raised again. And so will I. So will you. That's the truth. That's the truth about Jesus' cross. That's the truth about all the crosses that you bear in this life too. There's a third day coming, my friends. Live in that sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life when Jesus comes again. That is setting your mind on the things of God. Jesus' cross is his saving work. Jesus' cross is our salvation. And that gives us comfort and peace and the hope in the midst of all our suffering. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.